So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is part of what we believe is the triune God, which you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're all unique persons, and they're all three in one. And can I explain that? No. But they're very unique in what they do. And we're focusing on the Holy Spirit. And this morning, the first thing I just want us to kind of be challenged with when we're talking about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The scripture teaches this, and the thing that as a pastor, and it just cringes the inside of me and drives me absolutely nuts is when I hear people saying that the Holy Spirit isn't it. He's not a power that we just kind of wield and a power that we just tap into and we use when we want to use. He is a person. And in this church, you probably noticed over the years, we've kind of got rid of some songs. There's been some songs that say, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. What are you talking about? Let the Holy Spirit reign. It's a person. He has an identity. And every time I hear it, it just drives me insane. And we had this one, you know, said let it fall, you know, and stir it up. You know, it's like, no. The Holy Spirit, He's God. He's fully God. He's full of wonder and awesome and mystery and power. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And it's so unique because Jesus teaches on the Holy Spirit. And He teaches us, even before He leaves the earth, that He's a person. Listen to how Jesus refers to Him in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. He says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor, or you could say helper, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because he neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Did you notice Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit with pronouns? He, Him, a person, and He's going to be somebody that's going to come into this world, and He's going to come into your life. He is going to dwell inside of you. He is going to lead you. He's going to be your advocate. I mean, He's going to be just like Jesus. The disciples would follow Jesus, the person. Us as the disciples are supposed to be following the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. He's our advocate. He's the one that's revealing truth. He's the one that tells us where we should go, what we should do, just like as if Jesus was like right here. This is the role of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. And so when we say He's a person, He's somebody that we can relate to, somebody that we have intimacy with, somebody that we have a love relationship with. And like Jesus said, is that I want you to follow me. The Holy Spirit comes now and says, I want you to follow me. The problem is we don't see the Holy Spirit as a person. We see it as some mystical being that we just kind of pull out once in a while when we need a little bit of power here, a little bit of power there. We need something to happen. We're not seeing Him as that we need to have this relationship with Him. Instead, we have this theology that's kind of a man-centered theology where everything is about me, where the Holy Spirit is about me. The Holy Spirit is about me using Him for my benefits. And in fact, the Holy Spirit, He's supposed to follow me, and I'm supposed to let Him, you know, bless my will and my desires and my ways. It's completely opposite. We are supposed to follow the person of the Holy Spirit in the directions that He leads, where He's going, where He's speaking. So you know, one of the tough things to get into our minds is to understand that He is a person. And you can relate to Him. You can have conversation with Him. And then so when we start to kind of view the Holy Spirit, understand that He's a person, all of a sudden we start to understand He's also got a mind. And Scripture teaches us, and this is kind of some of the baseline things that we just need to understand about the Holy Spirit. He has a mind of His own, and that's why we can't reduce Him down to just a power, something that we yield or something that we tap into. He has a mind of His own, and it says this in verse 27 of Romans chapter 8. It says, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. And this is such a great verse. This is so powerful. So it says the Spirit of God who takes up residence in somebody who has repented, who has been baptized, and takes up residence inside of them. And what happens is he consumes them, he overwhelms them, and he's living inside. And as he's living inside, he knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows your heart's desire. He knows what you're going through. And he does something for you because he has a mind. He goes to the Father, and he communicates to the Father for us. I mean, don't you have those times where you don't know what to say? I mean, in prayer, you're so broken, you're so overwhelmed, or you just kind of don't even know what to do or say because you're lacking direction. Well, the great news is you can just come into the presence of the Holy Spirit and go, you know me. Have your way. And he goes to the Father, and he starts to tell the Father, this is what's going on in Kelly's life. This is what Kelly needs. Kelly's overwhelmed right now. He doesn't know which direction to go. He doesn't know how to talk about you. He doesn't know what to say. Right now, he just needs you just to flood him with wisdom. Oh, by the way, in his life, man, there's some things going on. He just needs to know you're there. He just needs to know you're in control. But meanwhile, I'm going, I'm lost, God. But the Holy Spirit's going, I know Kelly because I live in him. And he has a mind and he communicates with God our needs. And I just love that because my prayers really fall short. And I love the thought, and this is what I kind of wrote down, is do we realize that he, the Holy Spirit, with his mind, has a mind and actually prays to the Father for us? That God's will would be done in our lives. I mean, do we really grasp that? That's awesome. That's comforting. Because my prayers are weak. I don't know how to pray very well. There's things I don't know what to ask for. And some of the prayers that I pray, honestly, are just lame. I'll just say it. I was out fishing with Andy on Lake Erie. You know what I was praying? God, give me some fish. God, I can't go home empty-handed, otherwise my wife is going to make fun of me. It's like, and there's no bite. It's like, God, please, just if you give me some fish, I'll spend some more time with you. No, God, I mean, it's like I'm bartering with God. It's like, what am I doing? And then I'm like, okay, God, there's no bites on this side of the boat. So, God, if I put my pole on the other side of the boat, because, you know, in Scripture, you say, go to the other side of the boat, then you're going to all of a sudden have this boatload of fish come into my boat. Well, what happens? I go on the other side of the boat and nothing. You know, my will was that I would get lots of fish. But you know what? I think the Holy Spirit was going, you know what, God? This is what Kelly really needs. Kelly needs some downtime. He needs to hear your voice. He just needs to see you on the horizon of this lake. And those fish, they just don't matter. He just needs you to pour into him right now. He needs to enter some energy. He needs to have fun. And of course, we did catch fish. But you know what the crazy thing was? I was fishing on this boat. Andy would go to the other side of the boat. You know who got a bite? I got the bite when he went to the other side of the boat. So I don't know. But my prayers are just ridiculous, aren't they, sometimes? So I'm so glad that I have the Holy Spirit to go, God, this is what Kelly really needs. Kelly just needs to have patience. Kelly needs to develop his love and his awe and his wonder of who you are. Kelly needs some healing over here in his heart. He's been burying some stuff. He's been hurting. And the Holy Spirit's talking about those things. And that's so awesome to think that that's who he is. And he has his mind to go before the Father and go, here's Tom. Here's Danielle. Here's Matt. This is what they need. God, move on their behalf. Do your will in their life. I mean, that's incredible. So we kind of see that, okay, if he's a person that has a mind, but we also see something in Scripture that's very, very unique, meaning that you see how much of a person he really is. Because in Ephesians chapter 3 tells us this about the Holy Spirit, that he has emotions. Now, honestly, when I read this, I almost was like, I don't know if I dare even say that. But it says it right here. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So what does grieve mean in Greek? It means grieve. It means a deep emotion where you're emotional, overwhelmed, where you're in tears and you're just flooding out because you're grieving deep inside. And it's like the Holy Spirit does grieve and have, he has emotions. And as I thought about that, I'm thinking, that almost sounds like blasphemy, God. If, for me to present that on a Sunday morning, it kind of like weakens you. And then I started going, where did that thought come from? That's our culture, isn't it? Our cultures teach us that emotions are weakness. That if you grieve and you're mourning something because of it, you're so broken that you're weak. What do moms and dads say to the children? Suck it up, cupcake. Rise up, buck up. No, we have emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. And as I was kind of getting ready, thinking about this, I'm like going, you know, we were created in the image of God. We're a person. We have a mind of our own. We have emotions. We're made in his image. No wonder why he has emotions. And it grieves him, but let's not. I don't want to take it out of context either, because you got to put this into the context of what the scripture is talking about. It's grieving the Holy Spirit when his people have broken relationships with one another. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we act certain ways. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we are not walking in the ways of God, when we're not following the Holy Spirit in our lives. It grieves him. It overwhelms him. Because he knows what's good for us. He knows what God's will is for us. And he's like going, Kelly, get it right. Come over here. You don't want to go over there. You need to get rid of this because this is really separating you from God. And he's going, I'm praying for you, but you grieve me. And sometimes we just don't think about the Holy Spirit having feelings, do we? And look at what, in the context of the scripture, what's grieving the Holy Spirit? Why is there like a separation almost that you kind of sense between us and the Holy Spirit at times? And he says, it's about relationships. He says, in your anger, do not sin. You ever get angry? You ever lash out at people? Well, you might have that feeling, that emotion, but he says, in that anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So he's like going, don't let anger rule in your life. Because when you let anger rule in your life, you give the devil a foothold, and you're not walking in my will, in God's will. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit because you're letting the anger rule inside of you. And when you let anger rule inside of you, the devil's winning. You're going to have a separation in your relationship with God. And then he goes on, he says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. In other words, he's saying this guy has been stealing. Turn away from what you've been doing. What he'd say to us is, this was who you were before you came into a relationship with Christ. Now you got to be different. If profanity coming from your mouth defined who you were before, he says, don't let that be your definition anymore. Turn away from it. If you have lust in your heart and you had pornography problems, he's going, do not let that define you anymore. Turn away from it. Whoever you were, you're somebody different because the Spirit of God has taken up residence in you. And it grieves him when he sees us being held captive to our old ways. He says to turn away from these things, to repent from them. And then it goes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You ever have any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth? Have you ever said bad words about somebody? Kind of tongue-in-cheek, sarcasm. and said gossipy things or repeated gossip, what it's saying is that grieves the Holy Spirit. When you and I are children of God, because we're children of God once you're in a relationship with God, and you have the Spirit in you, it's grieving the Holy Spirit when we look at other people and we tear them down instead of building them up. He says, if you're a part of me and you're following me, you're going to build people up. You're going to look for ways to encourage one another. And then again it says in verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the redemption. And then the next verse, get rid of all bitterness, rage, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So he says, okay, you got to get rid of something. You want to be in me? You want to follow me, or do you want to follow your way? If you're going to follow your way, then your life is going to be defined by bitterness. You want to walk in me? You want me to reign and rule? You want to hear my voice? Get rid of bitterness. Aren't we good at holding on to bitterness? We're good at being angry at people. We're good at holding on to grudges. And he's like going, that is not how you are to be defined. And when we hold on to bitterness, it grieves God's Spirit. And he says, rage. Get rid of rage. You ever just get mad? You ever just get angry and scream at people and say hurtful things just because you're mad or because you just don't know what to say or do? And you feel defensive, and so you just have rage, and you're just defined by anger? I mean, you know people like that. And the Holy Spirit says, this grieves me when you're trying to walk in me. When this is your definition of you. And he says, get rid of anger, brawling. We'd like to fight, don't we? We could fight over anything. Think in marriage. I mean, we can fight over who's going to get the last Rice Krispie treat. Right? Probably me, because I'll get there quicker. But we can fight over anything. Get rid of slander. He said, don't let slander be on your lips. Don't gossip about people. Don't repeat what somebody else has said about somebody else. Don't do that. He says, when you do that, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and you separate yourself from the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, he says, along with every form of malice. I mean, these are some pretty powerful things, aren't they? But these things hurt the Holy Spirit, and his emotions is grief when he sees us not becoming the children of God that God has designed us to become. When he sees us not following him and his ways, and he watches us following our own ways, our own desires, our own behaviors, it grieves him because he knows that there's a better life and there's a better way for us, and that's a life that's walking in him and surrendering to him and surrendering all these things and saying, I don't want to be defined by this. I don't want to be defined by the Spirit of God in me. When you're defined by the Spirit of God, the world sees the love of Christ. And you can make a difference. But the problem with a lot of us, all those things that I just talked through, that would define you more than Christ does, myself included. So the Holy Spirit says, I need you to be in complete surrender to my will. Otherwise it breaks my heart. And then he says in verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. He says, be kind and compassionate. Show mercy. Let it just roll out of you like a stream that never stops. Just let that define who you are. Oh, and by the way, forgive people. What? You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said. And she did take the Rice Krispie treat. And I had my heart's desire on it. I'm not going to forgive her. Isn't marriage about forgiveness? Because we can offend each other. We're human beings. Aren't relationships are supposed to be defined by forgiveness, forgiving one another? Because I'm going to hurt you, not intentionally, but I'm a human being. I may say something. I may do something. But he says, the Holy Spirit says, my way is like Christ's way. Because I am defined by Christ. My will and his will and the Father's will are one. And he's told you guys that you're supposed to forgive the way that Jesus forgives you. And how did he forgive you? Completely. Entirely. When you confess your sin, it's gone. And the way that Scripture says, it's as far as from the east is to the west. Or like I like the old fisherman's definition better. That God takes your sin and puts it in the deepest part of the ocean and puts a no fishing sign here. Nobody can drum it up anymore. Not even you. That's how the forgiveness of Christ is. That big. He says, now I want you to be defined by this. Is your life defined by forgiveness? Are your relationships, your marriages, your relationship with your children, with your mom and dad, is it defined by forgiveness? As a body of believers, our relationships, are they defined by forgiveness? And the Holy Spirit says, when you live different, you live your way and not my way, I'm grieving. I'm broken for you. And I'm overwhelmed for you. So he says, I want you to live different. I want you to have a different life. And then the other thing about the Holy Spirit that we got to understand, and maybe you don't think about this, but he has his own will. He has his own desires. It says in 1 Corinthians verse 12, it says, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills, he desires, or he wants, you could say, depending on what version. And in this context of this verse, he's talking about the spiritual gifts, and we'll get into those. But he has a will to administer gifts to each one of you. And he's going to see fit what gift he wants to give you. You can say, no, I want the gift of teaching. I want the gift of prophecy. I want the gift of healing. I want this gift. No, no, you don't get a choice in it. The Holy Spirit administers because he has a will for your life. And he gives you a gift from God to use. And that gift is to build up the body of Christ. Now, he also has a will for Gaines Church, which is really tough sometimes as a pastor. I want to know his will. I want to know what his he desires for our church. But here's the problem. You guys all have a will. You have a will because you want to see certain things happen at Gaines Church. You want certain things to function certain ways. I, as a pastor, have a will. There's a desire that I have for the church. And there's this tension that where I've got to go, okay, not my will, but thy will be done. Holy Spirit, I want your will to be done here at Gaines Church. I want your will to be done here in my life. Because my will is pretty strong, and my will is going to take me over here and take me down a different path, and it might take Gaines Church down a different path if I follow my will. But, boy, when I'm following your will, it's the best place to be. It's a place where you see the incredible things of God happening. When we surrender to the will of the Spirit. Because he knows what we need. And he gives all these gifts to grow up the body, to become one, unified, to bring glory to the Father. And if you and I start to surrender our will to the Spirit, imagine what would happen in our lives. Imagine what would happen in our marriages. Imagine what would happen in our communities. Imagine what would happen in this church if we surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the one who we're following. Christ is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit is in us, guiding us and directing us. Do you look at the Holy Spirit and go that the Holy Spirit is a treasure to be desired, to seek after? The Holy Spirit is like that field where the treasure was there and the guy was willing to give up everything to get it. Do you see the Holy Spirit like that? Do you crave that? Do you want that? Then you have to desire it. You have to surrender your will. And as you surrender your will, you walk in Him. And as I was preparing this message, and I couldn't help but be overwhelmed by, I feel like God is just asking us to have a time as a church, as an individual, that we pray and that we would repent. Because when I start thinking about the Holy Spirit, I start to think about how many ways I have grieved Him. And when I grieve the Holy Spirit, I push Him out. I say, not your will, but my will be done. And when I was looking at this, I thought, why don't I treat Him like a treasure? Because He's a treasure that's been given to us. So I just want to lead us in prayer. And even when I say this about repentance, some of you already know what you need to repent of. You've already been convicted by the Holy Spirit, not by me. And repentance means you confess it, you turn away from it, and you let the Holy Spirit give you the power to do it. So will you just bow your heads with me? And I'm going to give you a few things, but there's other things that might be going on and that you need to repent of. And listen to the Spirit of God. Don't grieve Him anymore. You know, maybe anger has defined you. And in your anger, you've hurt somebody. Then just confess that to the Lord. And ask for forgiveness. Maybe you know you have not been surrendered to the Holy Spirit. You've been walking in the same sins you were walking in even before you knew Christ. Just confess those sins to Him. Ask Him to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those sins and the power to turn away from them. Maybe you've had unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Maybe you've said things that were hurtful to people behind their back, and you've been involved in gossiping. Just confess that to God and ask Him for forgiveness, and also the desire in your heart not to fall to that anymore. Maybe you've been tearing down people. You pick them apart. You point out all their flaws to them. Just confess that to God and say, God, give me a spirit that wants to build people up, to see them as you do, as precious and loved and cherished by you. Maybe a bitterness. You've been bitter at a spouse. You've been carrying this weight that's just so overwhelming. Maybe you've been bitter at how life has treated you, and maybe you're even angry at God. Would you just take a moment and say, God, I've been bitter. This has defined me. I can't find joy. I can't find hope. Forgive me, Father, for letting bitterness rule. Maybe you have rage and you just like to fight. You've just been fighting individuals everywhere you go. Just surrender that to God. Help Him to replace the rage with compassion and kindness. And maybe this morning there's somebody that you have not forgiven. There's somebody who has offended you, who has hurt you, and you have such deep wounds, and you hold this bitterness and anger and resentment, and you will not forgive them. And just confess that to God and ask Him to give you the strength to forgive them like He's forgiven you. And I know for some, you've had something done against you, and you're like going, I don't want to forgive them. Just forgive them and turn them over to God so you can experience the love and the mercy that God wants for you. Holy Spirit, we adore you. Forgive us for when we have grieved you, or we have done things on our own and we have not surrendered to you. We have not been in awe of you as part of the Trinity, Holy God. Forgive us for when we don't lean into you. We would just ask that your Spirit would just wake us up to you and your love. We'd ask that you would develop that intense relationship and intimacy of love with you that you crave and that you desire. Forgive us when we ignore you. Holy Spirit, we just give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We give you our soul. And we say thy will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.